D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today, the word tolerance is being used to promote intolerance in our culture. Groups like the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center are at the forefront of the push to force liberal laws on sexual orientation and gender. And if you happen to disagree, you will be labeled as a bigot and a hater, or worse, all in the name of tolerance. We'll take a look at this on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Tolerance doesn't seem to mean what it once did. Where it once meant putting up with views you disagree with, it now seems to entail silencing those you disagree with. What has led us to this point? Powerful and well-funded interest groups like the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center are a driving force behind this tolerance movement. As we begin, we're delighted to talk with Tim Wildman of the American Family Association. The AFA stands firmly for the defense of biblical decency and morality in America regarding the family and in other areas of society. And like us, they have been falsely labeled a so-called hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. I recently sat down and talked with Tim Wildman in Washington, D.C. Tim, you've been fighting the battle for religious liberty for a long time, decades. What seems different today from your perspective?
I don't think the masses have changed of the American people. In terms of their ideas about religious freedom or religious liberty. I think the elites, the secular progressives is what I call them, or the secular liberals, or we used to call them humanists, they've become real aggressive and real hostile, and they've taken over almost all the places of influence and control, including government, media, and entertainment. Yeah, so it's just gotten really heated out there.
Well, with the changing in the cultural consensus driven by all that, what issues seem to be the most significant that we face today, do you think?
Well, I do think religious freedom and religious liberty is going to be front and center. One of the candidates in the most recent presidential election has said, and I'm paraphrasing, that we're going to have to change our views on religious freedom and moral issues. And so the other side, the secularists, they believe that they're going to impose their worldview on Christians. And if we don't accept it, then we're going to be punished. And by punished, I mean fined, or maybe we won't be able to get a job somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's some consequences that could be very serious, where we're already seeing that play out with the bakery and the florist and the people like that. But those are isolated cases, I understand that, but I think we're going to see maybe a more broader persecution, if you will, of Christians if things continue like they are.
I was astonished by the rapid switch to transgender issues less than a year after the same-sex marriage decision was handed down by the Supreme Court. Usually we see this astonishing lethargy in government bureaucracy, but this looked like they were ready to pull the trigger on it even before the same-sex marriage decision came down. How do you see these activities?
Well, it's not called LGBTQ for no reason. The T is in there.
The T has been in there all
along.
And
they've accomplished, that is, the LGBTQ movement, political and social movement, have accomplished most of their goals. But with transgendered issues, they figured, I guess, they had the momentum going for their side, and they would go ahead and force this issue now. This is a open rebellion against God Almighty. God has sexual moral standards that he expects humans to obey, and is good for society and good for the individual. And these people who are pushing the LGBT agenda, they shake their fist in the face of God and say, "We're not. Don't tell us how to live. Don't tell us how to behave. We'll, you know." And so we, the Christians in this country, who subscribe to the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, the sexual moral standards that the Lord gives us, we are the enemy.
As followers of our Lord and Savior, we're supposed to show love to the world.
Yeah.
But we're also supposed to be firm in standing for truth. What happens to Christians in a culture like ours when they stand for truth?
Well, it's much easier. We see the popularity of some preachers and teachers on television, for example, if they only talk about love, and they only talk about how God will bless you, and only talk about those kinds of things rather than talk about take up your cross and follow me. If Jesus had to die on the cross to have our sins forgiven, then sin is a big deal to God. And it doesn't need to be cheapened or just ignored for the sake of not having to talk about uncomfortable subjects with people who don't know the Lord, who aren't Christians, who are in the world, because we have to talk about the whole gospel.
The history of the Christian church has been one that Christians, yes, indeed, took the command of our Lord and Savior to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But they also took the mind of Christ into every aspect of culture. They went outside the city walls at night and picked up the abandoned babies because they believed they were made in the image of God. Many of the first hospitals, schools, all these things were Christian endeavors of reaching out into the culture. We seem to be in a place where Christians are withdrawing out of the culture and pulling back. What should our stance be today?
It does get discouraging sometimes when we see darkness coming across our land. But if we quit and give up, we're going to lose for sure. We need to have an attitude of engagement, doing what we can, and then we'll be honoring God with our lives.
There you go. It is now politically incorrect to speak biblical truth, or even sometimes just common sense. Such plain speaking can get you labeled as hateful, and you could be silenced in the name of tolerance. Tolerance is a word that means something entirely different than originally intended. The true meaning of tolerance is to put up with someone and respectfully disagree with their view. Today, tolerance means agree with me exactly or else. This week and next week, we're sharing powerful excerpts from Dr. Kennedy's message, Discerning Good and Evil. Today, Dr. Kennedy teaches about the nature of tolerance when discerning between good and evil.
Now, all of us know what tolerance means. Tolerance means that you put up with or bear with people who hold to views or beliefs or values or lifestyle that you don't agree with. And if you're a Christian, or for that matter even a gentleman or a lady, you will bear with them graciously and kindly. Even though you disagree with them, you will try to be tolerant and kind to them. This is what tolerance means. Not anymore. It, too, has gone through the Department of Truth. It has been crushed and smushed and spread out until it means something entirely different. What Josh McDowell and Hotstetler describe in their excellent book, The New Tolerance, which I recommend to all of you, they're talking about the new tolerance. And what is the new tolerance? The new tolerance is that we are not only to put up with and bear with others who have differing views and values and habits and lifestyles and beliefs than our own, but we are to accept those beliefs, those values, that lifestyle, as absolutely equal to and just as valid as our own. That is the new tolerance. So you see, therefore, you haven't got any religious beliefs that are any better than anyone else's, since after all, everything is relative, and since your beliefs are not any better than theirs, and since your moral views are not superior to their moral views, no matter if they're a little more than an alley cat in their sexual lives, you cannot indeed impose your views upon them, which flows out of that. You must accept not only them, but you must graciously and kindly accept their lifestyle, their beliefs, their habits, as absolutely equal to your own. And if you don't, you are an intolerant bigot. And kids by the millions have been called that in front of their classmates in the classrooms of this country. And most of them indeed quake before such an assault as that. Well, any person who gives up a belief in the moral absolutes and the absolute truth of the faith that he has been taught will be incapable of distinguishing right from wrong and will, as McDowell says, be powerless to resist temptation and choose the right. This is what is happening to millions of students in our schools today. Because of the new tolerance, not only do you put up with the person graciously and kindly, but you accept all of their views, their beliefs, their values, and their lifestyle as equal with your own. And if you don't, my friend, there are serious consequences that are waiting for you, because they go on and they have progressed even beyond what I've said, so that today they want not only your glad acceptance of all of their views, lifestyle, beliefs, and values and habits as equal with your own, but they want you to participate in what they do. They want you to endorse it and to participate in it. It has been well said that the last virtue of a degenerating population is tolerance. When people no longer live up to any of the moral values that made society great, the last value they hang on to is tolerance. They demand that everybody tolerate their wickedness, and they will tolerate theirs. The last value of a degenerate society.
As Dr. Kennedy explained, this new tolerance is detrimental to society. Truth cannot be relative, and giving up belief in absolute truths will rot your ability to tell good from evil. This seditious mindset seeks to capsize society as we know it. At the helm of the ship leading the attack on truth in our society is the ACLU. The ACLU is working to force extreme liberal policies on sexuality and gender while labeling those who differ as bigots. Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
The left is pushing a subjective view of gender identity, absolutely divorced from biology. You can be what you want to be. You could be gender nonconforming. You could be agender. You could be male, female, or some combination thereof. There's actual federal guidance that says you could be some combination of male or female, based on your subjective internal sense.
The Creator made two sexes. It's indisputable. Male and female. And no no amount of surgery or changing of clothes or having extensions added to one's hair or facial softening surgeries. A guy can have his Adam's apple removed all he wants. He can have artificial breasts installed, and he can go so far as to allow them to remove perfectly functioning sexual organs. But at the end of the day, if you swab his mouth, if you check his birth certificate, if you check his DNA, he's still a man.
One of the ACLU's projects recently has been suing school districts to force an open bathroom and locker room policy. This would allow a boy who thinks he's a girl access to the girl's restroom or locker room, or vice versa. A recent example of this is a case in the city of Gloucester, Virginia, in the greater Virginia Beach area. A teenager called Gavin is a girl who thinks she's a boy.
Everyone here that's spoken about me so far has referred to me as a girl. This is the first mistake, seeing as I very simply am not a girl.
The school sought to accommodate Gavin by allowing her, for example, to use a unisex bathroom. But that's not enough to the ACLU. They're suing to give Gavin access to the boys' restrooms and locker room.
What has happened in the state of Virginia, a girl who identifies as a boy wanted full access to the boys' locker room, and the school made an accommodation by building a little curtain around a corner where she could change in the corner in the boys' locker room. But that wasn't good enough. The girl wants full access, and her suit was brought by the ACLU for this girl to be able to undress in the boys' locker room and watch the boys undress and shower at the same time.
The ACLU has also filed suit in the Chicago area on behalf of a boy who thought he was a girl. For discussion purposes, he has been called Student A.
While our school district was trying to accommodate Student A, they went above and beyond, gave so many accommodations. They said, how about this space to change your clothes for gym? No, that wasn't good enough. So then they said, well, how about this space? And we'll even bring lockers in. So you have your lockers in that space. And it still wasn't good enough. The only thing that was good enough for the ACLU and for Student A and Student A's family was to be within the girls' locker room, trampling on the rights of the other girls.
But the school district caved in to the ACLU. In response, the Alliance Defending Freedom and the Thomas More Society filed a joint lawsuit on behalf of 51 Chicago area families.
It is not up to the school district to determine the time our daughters encounter a member of the opposite sex while in a state of undress.
And what about science? Does science back up the claims of those like the ACLU trying to force the transgender agenda through legal blackmail? Well, a new study found that there are over 6,500 genes that show themselves differently between males and females. This adds to the already significant biological differences between men and women.
The progressive left and the ACLU keep insisting that the science is settled. Science supports transgender. This is false. It is outright false in two ways. One, where science is settled, it supports that transgenderism is a mental disorder. And two, where it doesn't, it remains an open question. When you look at statistics of children who have expressed a desire or a feeling that they actually should be the opposing sex, between 87 and 99% of them grow out of it by the time they're done with puberty.
The ACLU frames this as an issue of tolerance, but in reality, transgenderism goes against all the science.
The head of clinical psychology at Johns Hopkins, clinical psychiatry, quit doing sex change surgeries because they determined that everything else they thought was caused by the fact that your body doesn't match with your brain, depression, alcoholism, suicidal thoughts, etc. All of that stayed the same even after surgery. In any other situation where the brain and the body are at odds with each other, the typical solution in psychology and psychiatry is to treat the thoughts to bring them to match reality. An example of this is anorexia. Nobody would say, all right, you see a fat person, I'm going to help you fix that. Let's get you on a diet plan. Let me get your exercise going. I'll be your coach. I'll support you. Nobody suggests that as a treatment for anorexia. We say, your brain is lying to you. Let us work on fixing your thoughts so that you can see reality and accept reality and get to a place where your brain and your body are healthy.
Well, the ACLU and groups like them file lawsuits demanding open access for bathrooms and locker rooms at school. So we certainly see that the left is lined up, has a lot of money, power, and influence behind it. These very well-heeled leftist activist groups like the ACLU. But standing in the gap against their goals are parents and students at schools who just don't want to have those kinds of political agendas and aims foisted on their kids at school.
The reality is there are several powerful, well-funded organizations working largely behind the scenes to completely remake our society. And one of the essential tools in their toolkit is marginalizing those with differing views, calling them bigots and haters. And that includes Bible-believing Christians who refuse to go along with their attempts to completely redefine marriage, the family, and sexuality. You need to understand this agenda and how its goal is to intimidate you into submission. Here's Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy with some resources that will help. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. The first resource is the 2-DVD or 2-CD set, The War Against Christianity. In these two messages, my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, addresses the growing backlash towards Christians and how it actually aligns with our calling in Christ. These powerful messages will educate you and encourage you in the battle ahead. And the second resource is our new short book, Special Report, The Southern Poverty Law Center Exposed. This group, which once did good work battling hate groups like the KKK decades ago, has long since simply become a far-left advocacy group. The SPLC publishes a hate map on which they include organizations that work for biblical marriage and defend the traditional family. And we're on that list. Right alongside neo-Nazis and racial hate groups, they place D. James Kennedy Ministries, the American Family Association, the Family Research Council, and other Bible-believing Christian organizations. This map is often relied upon by law enforcement and other organizations that don't realize the SPLC has merely enlisted in the culture wars on the side of the radical left. You need to know more about them and about their agenda. We'll send you the print Special Report, The Southern Poverty Law Center Exposed, as well as the 2-DVD or 2-CD set, The War Against Christianity, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Our fiscal year ends at midnight on June 30th. It's imperative that we are able to pay all of our expenses and begin the second half of this pivotal year on a strong financial footing. We must continue to get the truth out on issues like this, especially during this unique time when we have the ear of Washington, D.C. Some of you can give $50. Some can give $100 or even $1,000. Your generous gift will help us continue to stand for truth and defend your freedom. As our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry, we'll send you the 2-DVD or 2-CD set, The War Against Christianity, as well as the print Special Report, The Southern Poverty Law Center Exposed. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
Intolerance is the new tolerance. That's the conclusion one would draw by looking at the loudest advocates for so-called tolerance in our day. These people wish to silence all views but those approved by the politically correct and self-appointed elites in our nation. We have been repeatedly told that conservatives and Bible-believing Christians are intolerant bigots. But now there's actually a study demonstrating the exact opposite, that it is the leftists who are the least tolerant students on college campuses today. The student newspaper at Dartmouth College reported on a campus-wide study conducted there. The results showed Democrats are the school's least tolerant students. The survey revealed that 69% of students who identified as Republican would be very comfortable rooming with a student who held differing beliefs. But by contrast, only 39% of students who identified as Democrat said they would feel comfortable. That dramatic difference is even more telling when looked at from another perspective. Only 12% of the Republican students said they would be personally uncomfortable living with someone holding opposing political views, while nearly four times as many Democrat students, 45%, said they would be positively uncomfortable with such an arrangement. This certainly makes sense of the phenomenon we see happening in America's colleges today, with invited speakers being shouted down, canceled, or even attacked, but only if they are conservative. All this reminds us that the repeated invocations of tolerance are merely smokescreens. The louder someone shouts tolerance, the more you can be pretty sure they mean exactly the opposite, and that their view of tolerance means silencing you. By contrast, we are instructed by Christ to love our neighbors and to speak the truth in love. We are to be slow to speak and quick to listen. We are not to compel people to Christ by force, but to draw them through love. While many people hypocritically talk about tolerance today, Christianity actually demonstrates it. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The truth is, the only people they really want to discriminate against and rule out are Christians.
The only thing impoverished about the Southern Poverty Law Center are their ethics. What they do is they simply go after and try to marginalize Christian organizations that speak about biblical morality.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.